Jesus. Amen. If we could just open in a word of prayer. Father, we do ask that this song we sing would be a sincere prayer. Father, we know that there is a calling and there is an election upon each and every one of us. Father, we pray that you would help us to be able to appropriate, be able to lay hold this reality that's available. So, Father, we just pray that you touch the hearing of the ear this afternoon. You see the lives that are gathered here. You see the potential that is available in the youth. Lord, you see the pressure of darkness today that is so ever present, so ever vigilant, working to disqualify the preciousness of the life. Father, we want to be able to contend for this preciousness. Lord, we want to invite heaven to come down into our lives and to give us that heavenly directive, that heavenly direction, that heavenly reality. Father, we just pray for your peace even right now. Let it be in this room. Lord, let it touch the lives of those that are gathered here. We just pray, God, for that still, small quieting of the presence of God. Touch us, O God, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I think one of the things about the Lord that is so marvelous is that He is not a respecter of person. And age is of no consideration for Him. You understand what I mean? Even to the unborn child, I believe if there is a certain destiny that prohibits that child from coming to what we know life to be, God comes to that child and gives that child an opportunity to choose. And so it really speaks about that the consciousness in man, it's not restricted by age. Hallelujah. And so, you know, when you consider your own self, you know, there's a calling and election that is available for every one of us. And age is not a determining factor. Because age, maturity is not limited by age. You know what I mean? You don't have to be a certain age to be of a certain maturity. In fact, you can be of a maturity before your age. And the truth is, that is what God is looking for, is a certain level of maturity. You consider the life of Samuel. And Brother Mark, I don't know, how old was he when he was dedicated to the service of the...
Well, he had only been weaned. So whatever the age of weaning was in those days, sometimes it extended as far as 4 or 5.
So we can speculate.
Definitely not much over 4 or 5.
Right. So 4 or 5, and his mother offers him essentially back to the Lord, and he then is in the within the inner workings of the function of the priesthood and those things of that nature. You can kind of say, you can say in a way that he was in a church environment of that day. Now, if you read the account of Eli and his house and his sons, the Bible does not give a very good testimony to the condition of Eli's house and subsequently the condition of God's house. Hallelujah. In fact, it's very possible that the principles of God, the righteousness of God, that was given to the priesthood for the priesthood to preserve, promote, and encourage, could have been lost, corrupted entirely, except for the fact of Samuel. Hallelujah. So you can see, but before you had Samuel, you had Hannah, right? It's really the same for it's the same for us in this respect, that we are in a day and age where the level of darkness is much greater than it was yesterday or last year. There's a pressure that is on you as young people that I did not have. There was darkness in my day as a young person, but that darkness is greater in your time than it was in mine. But as the scripture says, where sin doth abound, grace what does that much more abound. Hallelujah. There's something that you have that I don't have. Who would be the oldest here today, as far as the youth is concerned? You were in the youth camp, right?
Yeah.
I met you, didn't I?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
What are you,
23? Yeah.
Okay, good. So, who is the youngest? And that would be?
How old are you?
Seven.
Seven. Okay. So you have something more than, let's say, the oldest does that I don't have. Do you know what it is? You have youth. You see, I'm 42. So I'm twice as old, roughly. And that time is gone. I can't get it back. Now I can redeem the time, you understand, in God. But you have something that I don't have, and that is your youth. And the energy and the life that comes with youth. Hallelujah. So you have an advantage now that I did not take advantage of. Hallelujah. How many of you know who my father is? Brother Bert, right?
Yeah.
It clicks. Very good. So you can imagine, I grew up with Brother Bert. Of course, he's dad to me. And I, as far back as I can remember, the environment for which I grew up in was having a father who was in constant pursuit of what is the right standard as far as God is concerned. Hallelujah. But, you know, you see, even though you might have that particular environment, it does not guarantee that as an individual, you're going to come out on the right side of the fence. Because it always comes down to a personal choice. You have to choose. And for me, the choice was always the wrong choice. You understand? So what you see right now is the result of the redemption of God to redeem me from the direction that I was going as far as the world is concerned. Hallelujah. You see, I grew up in a very sheltered environment, and I'm very thankful for it. And yet there was still the influence of the world through the neighbor, friends, you know. And somebody was talking about music here today, and I would have to say that one of the biggest influences in my life for going the wrong direction was music. And despite the rules of the house, I could lay in bed at night with the little radio hidden underneath my pillow, and I can tune in that frequency and be adverse in the current song of the day. Hallelujah. But you know, you see that administration, it is not passive. And it's very much a spiritual ministration. Think of it in these terms. When we gather together as the children of God to have a meeting, we often open our meetings with music, right? Song. Because what we want to do is invite what? The presence of God. And as the presence of God comes, it does what? Does it not begin to lift you up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And for whatever need you have as an individual, that presence of God begins to address.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But there's also something else that is working. It is preparing the congregation then to be able to receive the ministration of the Word. Hallelujah. So in that, thinking about it in the music in that context, the devil also works the same way. The music which he has, now first of all, consider who the devil is, or just consider his former state of affair. Who was he before he became the devil? The Bible calls that, he says he was Heliel. It's in
Ezekiel.
Is it Ezekiel 28 or Isaiah 14? I think it's Isaiah 14. In verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven?" Okay, so here we have it. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Now, first of all, let's make a little correction. The true word is the Hebrew word. Can you click this into linear? Okay. We lost the scripture.
Oh.
the word Lucifer is an incorrect word. First of all, it's a Latin word, and and written in amongst the Hebrew text, so it's incorrect. The correct word is Heliel. That was the name that God gave to Heliel when God created Heliel. Hallelujah. I don't know if you ever noticed that there's a certain thought that God has when He named the creatures He made. You have Heliel. You have, well, who else do you have? Michael.
Gabriel.
Israel. the name is correct. Different entity that He created, but in the context of the archangels, so they each have a particular name which means something very special. Gabriel is the messenger that is like God. El means to be like God. So when it speaks about Heliel, it's talking about specifically the capacity of how God created him. So we read there in Isaiah, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Heliel, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Ezekiel 28 brings us a little different perspective. And in verse 13, it says, now this is the Lord speaking now again to Heliel. "Thou hast been eaten in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardas, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. And the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created." So when it talks about the pipes and the tabrets that were created in him, it was that gift that God gave Heliel to be a musician. Okay? So can you can imagine the high intelligence of this capacity to create music. I mean, have you ever met somebody or have you been aware of somebody that was really gifted? And you marveled at the gift, right? Yeah. The capacity. Some people, they can just pick up anything and learn it and make music with it. You think of some of the great composers, perhaps, that could hear things, sounds, and then begin to put it out. This is the kind of intelligence that Heliel was created with. Hallelujah. But Heliel rebelled against God. And in the aspect of rebelling against God, rejecting God, he became what we call Satan. Hallelujah. But guess what? The capacity to make music, he still retained. The word says that the gifts and callings, is that what it says? Are what? Without repentance. In other words, that which God freely gives, he doesn't take it back. So you have an entity called Satan, and his quest now is not for the promotion of the kingdom of God, light, and all that God is. His quest now is for the promotion and the expansion of darkness. And so this is why when you consider the world of music that we have, there are all kinds of music that can identify that is available for all kinds of people. Because there's a certain music that you might like, right? There's another style you don't really care for. Hallelujah. But the thing is, in the music is a spiritual ministration that is designed that you open up your soul to it and you invite the nature of darkness in. Hallelujah. And one of the things that has been extremely instrumental in the expansion of darkness has been the rock and roll music. And this is one of the things that as a young person, while I was in a positive environment as far as my home was concerned, and that endeavor on the behalf of my parents to ensure that all the right choices were before me, yet there was something in my heart that did not want that to make that choice for righteousness, but instead to be influenced by the world that was around me. And it's really what it's called is rebellion. You understand? And that's really that is really what's at the heart of the issue as far as music is concerned. It is to influence and help you make rebellious choices. Amen. But I want to tell you that the influence and the structure that makes rock and roll the music that it is not just limited to rock and roll. And in fact, I can tell you that it was the so-called Christian rock and roll that helped promote me to the real rock and roll. And that particular style and that particular type of music, as I am listening to it, it is beginning to influence even down to the way I dress. Because now I want everybody to know of what I am identifying myself with. And it really, the truth of the matter is, I had a knowledge of what was right from what was wrong because of my Christian upbringing, because of that righteous influence as far as my parents was concerned. Hallelujah. But there was coming a time when God would have to look at me as that it was now my where I now become accountable before Him. You understand what I'm saying? Every one of you are going to face that time in your life, and it does age here again is not necessarily a factor. But you're going to face that time when God will look at you and you alone are the one who has to stand before God and make that choice. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember where it was. I think I was 19. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, so my teenage years, I just lived it for me, basically. That time, I can't get back. Time, for some of you, that you now have. If you can make the right choice to go the right direction. For me, I know exactly where it was. I can remember it. I remember it now. As if it happened yesterday. I was in a certain place. You understand, it all works together as far as the devil is concerned. It starts with a little influence in your life, and you begin to accept it, Then he brings you friends to help support you. You understand what I'm saying? And so you begin to, you know, share together in those experiences. But see, they're not just, they're not passive experiences. There's a transaction that is taking place. I had a understanding in my mind, in my heart actually, of what was morally right from my parents. But the devil was eroding my ability to make the right choice little by little by little. And the Lord knew that I was coming to a place where I was going to make a very grievous mistake and a decision in my life that would have created irrevocable consequences. Hallelujah. So he came to me in a particular place. I was in a certain environment, surrounded by my friends, having a great time, and all of a sudden I saw a vision. And in the vision I saw myself on a road, and I was standing at the fork in the road. And I knew instinctively that one side of that fork went kind of down like this. And I knew the road was the journey of my life. And I saw the other side, that it started to go up, and it kind of disappeared, so to speak, up in the mountains. And I knew the way that went up was God's way. And I knew that the way that went down, and it kind of went down, and it sort of flattened out into a flat trajectory, that was my way. And that was the choices that I was making. That was the decisions that I was making. That was the direction I was going. But the thing that scared, frightened me in it all is it was like God translated me for just a moment down that lower road to a place where that one day I would come to realize I had missed God. And the absolute sense of regret was overwhelming. It scared me, you understand. It was the fear of God, is what it was. And I knew instinctively, right then, at that moment, I was confronted with a choice. And it was something that I needed to make very carefully, because I also knew at the making of the choice I would not be able to reverse if I found out I made the wrong choice. It scared me so much that I got up in the middle of everything, got in my car, and went back to my house, and that was the last time I saw those people. Because I knew that the living God had just confronted me about the calling and the election that was on my life, and that I was about to make the wrong choice if I continue to go in that direction. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now that is my experience. And to each individual, there's a unique story in all of it. But the bottom line is that you can have your own story. And even more importantly, you can have the right story without having to go through what I had to go through. Mm-hmm. You understand? It's like Samuel. Young and innocent. Innocent from the elements that were working, as far as the world is concerned, innocent for the elements that were working as far as the church environment was concerned. Hallelujah. One of the pressures that we have today that I didn't have particularly necessarily in my day was the condition of the church. I have never seen such a rapid advancement that I see now, where right is being called wrong and wrong is being called right. And everything is being sort of Christianized, as if to make it okay. But I am telling you that there is a standard that God wants to bring and establish in our lives so that we become the standard that is preserved for the generations to come. Hallelujah. Brother Martin was talking about, and this is our pattern, if you will, as it was given to us, you know, in the Old Testament with Moses. It demonstrates for us, step by step, piece by piece, what it is that we should be doing and what is required of us if we really want the fullness of who God is. See, there was something there was something that my parents gave to me in spite of all of my rebellion, and it was that I knew that there was something very special that God had for me as an individual. Brother Chijoki was saying that there is an identity crisis. And I believe it's true. That's why you have all of these, Facebook and things of that nature. It's something that we utilize as to try to establish some sort of identity of who we are. But there's an identity that is available for us that transcends all of this immediate realm which we are surrounded by. And that is an identity that comes from God and God alone. Think about Samuel, right? He's there and he's learning the operation and the function of what is to be the of man in communication with God for God. Right? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And it's very much like what we are faced with today, and even for some of you, if not most of you, perhaps most of you have, and it seems that you do, based on the previous session, you have a lot of understanding, and maybe the types and the shadows with respect to the tabernacle. But where is the reality of it to you personally as an individual? Do you know what I mean? Where is the reality of it? Where has it become interactive for you? Hallelujah. And it really starts with you and I on an individual basis having a relationship with the Lord. Right? So you see, when it became a critical point with Samuel, with Eli. Now you have the integrity of righteousness being compromised by the attitude of Eli and by the behavior of his sons. It became God intervened in that he went to Samuel and what?
Spoke to him.
What did he do?
Spoke to him.
He spoke to him, right? And Samuel did what? He heard. See, there is something that God wants to speak to you individually. And it could be anything. Whatever it is. But there has to be a place where you are determined to be dedicated that God might speak to you. See, there is such a bombardment for you today that I didn't have. You know, social media, the internet. Didn't know what that was when I was a kid. Computers, no such thing. At least not on the mainstream they are now. Cell phones? What was that? Hallelujah. You know, so you... I mean, of course, we had radio and television, but even television wasn't that big of a thing in our home. So there's that element that is can be a constant bombardment. Hallelujah. Let me ask a question. What is the purpose of Facebook?
Investors' money.
Well, that, yeah, that's a very good point. Okay, keep in touch.
Show each other what you're doing. Show your friends what you're doing.
All right, let me ask this: What would be the spiritual value of Facebook? Does the influence of it promote you to seek a deeper in relationship with God?
No.
Does it encourage you with the deeper thoughts and revelation of the calling and election that's on your life? Or would you say that there's a greater probability that it would act more as a distraction or even a hindrance to that objective as far as a relationship with God is concerned? I'm just putting some thoughts out on the table. Hallelujah. Because if you want to be a child of God, there is a place of dedication. And there's a place where you allow God to sanctify your life. Hallelujah. It's here. You come into the outer court by the experience of the brazen altar with the intention of fulfilling the experience of the brazen laver. And I can tell you a little bit about what has been the ongoing process of God to sanctify my life. See, I would have never thought, I probably wouldn't have picked, to be standing here with you today talking to you about these things. I have certain passions, I have certain likes, I have certain abilities, and I enjoy doing them very much. Except for the fact that God began to touch my heart in reference to something deeper than that which I could do here, you know, in this environment. And that, but I am not usable in what was then that current condition, as far as the hardness of my heart and my attitude of rebellion as far as God is concerned and the things that pertain to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you imagine I had long hair?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I told you, I was becoming the influences that I was taking in. You know? So when you see somebody like that and they get up and they say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I have a word from God. For me, the first thing I see is the way they look. And it tells me something is not sanctified in their life. Hallelujah. So there was a necessity that God would begin to sanctify my life so that I can then be whatever it is He wants me to be. Hallelujah. That process of sanctification comes by
having a relationship.
Well, it helps us have a better relationship. It comes by fire. Tribulation. That means that for some of you, maybe in the midst of your school environment, you're confronted with something that isn't right. And you have a choice. Either you're going to go along with it and sort of hide in the numbers, or maybe there's a conviction on you where you need to make a stand in reference to that thing that is going on. What do you think is going to happen when you make a stand?
Tribulation.
There's going to be tribulation.
There's going to be tribulation. People are going to talk about you, right? You're going to become the center of Facebook communication. The Twitter, whatever it is they use. Hallelujah. But it's the due order. It's the process for which God has ordained by which to begin to establish, one, righteousness in you, and two, sanctify you that you can be the proper vessel for Him. You see, when I was fresh out of the world at age 19, I made a declaration to God. God, I don't want to go the direction I'm going. I want to go Your way. Do you think it was all flower gardens and roses? Hallelujah. You know what He did? He put me in this job, and the environment of the job, do you know what it was? It was peace and tranquility, and I got along with everybody. They were very encouraging, and I just grew like grass. No, it was, the environment was everything that I said I did not want to have anymore. Down to the very kind of music that I liked. So for 8 hours a day, I had to listen to the same music.
Oh my God.
I had to be around the same kind of people that I had just said I do not want to be with anymore. For the influence sake. You know, the first 3 days of that job was total and complete. I didn't want to be there. In fact, God came to me. Part of my job was making runs in the company truck. And I was out, and I was very grateful for those opportunities. It was a sort of reprieve. Hallelujah. And I remember where it was, came off the interstate, sitting there at the stoplight, waiting for my turn to go. And the Lord comes to me and He says, are you going to submit to this circumstance? And I knew exactly what He was talking about. Hallelujah. And I said, yes, Lord, on one condition. Imagine making making conditional response to God. If it will change me. And of course, the Lord's answer was, yes, it will change you. And so, at that moment, I had made a decision, again, another decision, that in spite of the environment and not liking it, I was going to accept it as that it was from God. But in the aspect of accepting it, it wasn't that I just now lay down and go along with everything. But there was a response that was needed from me on a daily basis to begin to resist that influence of the environment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in the aspect of resisting, it's not something that is born out of some special inner strength that comes from, but it was born out of a desire to want to know God and to touch His heart with respect to the calling and the election that's on my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And also for the desire to be free from the influences and the nature of this thing that still had a hook in my soul. You know, there's something very interesting about the music. It has a way of getting a hook in you. And sometimes it takes years for that influence of that particular style, that particular song, that particular note to be worked out of you. Huh? So there's something very vital, very important, that while you are yet in your youth, you have an opportunity to circumvent and avoid what some of the mistakes that the mistakes that some of us that are before you have made. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes there's a time to run. You know, Joseph. He was confronted with a temptation, wasn't he? Hallelujah. What did he do?
He ran.
Hallelujah. And there have been circumstances in my life when I did not have the strength to overcome it per se there on the spot. It would then became a necessity to run until I could come to a place of being able to confront it face to face. Hallelujah. I'm saying this in reference to some of the things that might be influences in your life. And for you to seriously consider them. What is the spiritual importance of some of these things that are influencing your life? And one of the biggest influences is the social network. I don't have Facebook. I never will. But I come from a different generation. Hallelujah. And whatever other things, Twitter, things of this nature. There's something that you need to take stock of in your life. What is it that is influencing you to make the wrong choices? You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And if you really, really want to know God, then you will begin to demonstrate that by the decisions you make. We see God, it says that He will reveal Himself to all those that ask.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you it's possible, in spite of the bombardment. And I can give you an example. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and what? Abednego. Where were they? Where were they? They were right in the heart of where? The whole Babylonish kingdom. Do you realize that in his time there was some technology, there was some form of the world that was very much present and overshadowing and a pressure that was on them? Do you think they had a free ride?
No.
Hallelujah. In fact, when you read later on under Darius, what does it say? They began to make laws as to make it illegal for Daniel to even pray to his God. What would you do if you were faced with that decision? What would you do if you were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? All right, come on now. Follow me on this story. The king gets a revelation. Let us make a what? An image. And we're going to set this image up in the plain of Dura, right? And we're going to call a certain day. And what are we going to do? Well, let's look at it. Daniel. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Okay, let's come down. And Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather together the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king set up. Do you know that history is now repeating itself? And that there is an image that is being set up? Not an image as it was here, something tall, physical, as far as the center of society was there. But an image that is being created on a global scale. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Let's go. Bring verse 4 and 5 up to the top. Then a herald cried aloud. To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and language, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all... How many? All kinds of music. What? You shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. How much is all? Is it 90%? It's all kinds of music. Do you think the tactic has changed as far as the devil is concerned? You see, what happened here was a prototype. Come on. You see, the devil has an objective, and that is to incorporate the fullness of who he is inside a people. And one of the things that has been principal in him reaching that objective is the music. Hallelujah. I mean, consider the news today compared to 20 years ago. You see and hear of horrific things that people have done and are doing. Why? Because something has changed in them that gives them a greater capacity to act closer and more like the devil. Hallelujah. But he's headed for an objective. You understand? He's going for the grand scale. So instead of an image as it was back here on the plain of Dura, he's now has the plans underway to have an image that can be erected on a global scale. Hallelujah. So you see, there is a certain direction that is the world is going. But there are the three Hebrew children. Where are they? They're in the midst of Babylon. They're in the ranks and the realms of the government. And all of those things that were going on. Can you imagine the kind of negative pressure that was on them just by virtue of the stand for righteousness and the conviction they had? Hallelujah. What it says to me is they had something, they acquired something that could only come from God that gave them the strength to do what they were doing. Hallelujah. They became, we want to talk about trendsetters. What trendsetter do you want to be? Do you want to be the billboard for the latest fashion? As far as the world is concerned? Or would you rather be a trendsetter as far as God is concerned? And which God wants to do in the earth by reason of righteousness. Hallelujah. So the question that you have to ask yourself, when this comes to a place of fullness, as it is coming, will you have the strength and the integrity and the character of God to be like the three Hebrew children and refuse to bow down to the image? Now, do you think the three Hebrew were the only Hebrews there in that multitude that began to make obeisance to the image? No, they weren't. Hallelujah. Now, I mean, you think about it. The Hebrews were a type of what? God's people. Hallelujah. So you have a tremendous opportunity before you as young people. Hallelujah. And if you can make the right choice, the right decision, the places for which God would want to take you are unlimited. Now, it's going to cost you something. There were times in the midst of my situation, I remember a time, another job, another place. You understand? My first job, I graduated from it. I did. God, it came to a place where I was at complete peace. In spite of the environment, in spite of everything, because God was working something in my heart, right? So it came where the circumstance was no longer facilitating that spiritual growth. It was time for a new one. So he took me out of that job, put me in a different job. I went from the frying pan to the fire. Hallelujah. And there was a circumstance in that job that arose one day that required me to make a certain statement. And it's funny what things you can talk about or what statements you can make and the hell that it can unleash against you. Hallelujah. I just so happened to be taking several days, I think it was, to fast, and I was doing my job. I wasn't bothering anybody. And it just so happened to be the same day that my service manager, whom I was working under, decided to bring some food to work and share it with everybody. Hallelujah. Fine. But, and so I kind of flew under the radar most of the day. And finally, somewhere in the afternoon, he goes, "Oh, hey, Barrett, you know, make sure you get, you know, some of this, this, and this, this." And, you know, he was being very generous, and he seemed to want to share it with everybody. And I said, "Oh, thank you," Rich was his name. I said, "Thank you very much, but actually I'm fasting." And the color in his face drained. And the man became very angry. You see, it was a spiritual situation. And just what I said, it hit him. And the spirit in the man responded in a negative thing against me. Hallelujah. And God just let me sort of roast for a day and a half, I think it was, in the midst of that situation. But the point is that for the sake of righteousness, there is a cost involved. Hallelujah. But God didn't leave me there in that situation at the mercy of those men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think it was the next day or something of that nature. And I knew. I knew. Every time I walked out of the room, somebody was over here huddling together. And I walk in the room and they... So you have this retaliatory pressure because of the decision and the stand for righteousness. Hallelujah. But God intervened on my behalf. Something like a day and a half later, this man comes in the shop and he said, "You know, here you go. You're the winner of..." It was some sort of drawing or something. I'd throw my name in, and here's your prize, and all of this. And that part was inconsequential to me, but the way God worked to break the adversary that was working in the environment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God will honor those that honor Him. Hallelujah. So what is being offered to you is very precious. What's being offered to you at the young age you were at is very precious. And I would just encourage you that you get a hold of God and let God lead your life to what it is that God has for you and what He wants you to be. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you. I believe we should take a few minutes to look at our lives, look at how we live our lives, how we... live our lives and see if it's working according to God's order, to see if it's God's will, and see if He's the one that's leading your life and it's not other people or what you think is the right way to do it. I believe we should just take some time to pray about it, to ask God to help me, change me, to turn a corner for Him into righteousness.
Amen. How many are touched by Brother Barrick's testimony? I was sensing that as Barrick was sharing it, You know, it's sort of interesting. This morning we had Brother Martin, who is, I believe, he's about the same age as you, isn't he, Barry? Right around there. Now, I'm a little older than Barrick and Martin. You could say I'm one generation. Martin and Barrick, in fact, Barrick is married to my daughter, Stacy. They are the generation from us. And as I look out upon you, we have 8 grandchildren ranging from 19 years of age to 3 years of age, so they're of the third generation, right? And I believe that God is, you know, when you come together, do you ever wonder why you feel what you're feeling? You know, when someone's up ministering and all of a sudden there's thoughts going on inside of you, isn't it? Thoughts of where you're at, thoughts of right, thoughts of wrong. It's the Holy Spirit working because He's here in our midst. And when we've come, now I want you to raise your hands, all of you that are born again. Raise your hands. Accepted Christ in your life. Okay. You see almost everyone here. Yes, okay. All right. Is anyone here not born again? Okay. Well, as what was being shared before, when we become born again, we come into this place, into the tabernacle, and that begins our journey with God, and a place that God wants us to be dedicated and consecrated and sanctified for God. Is anyone here totally satisfied with your life as being sanctified?
No.
Okay, look around, everybody. Anybody see anybody else's hands raised up?
Oh, okay.
You're totally satisfied?
I'm not satisfied.
No, you're not satisfied. Okay, good.
Sorry.
All right. I think that, you know, many of you, or most of you have been here for almost the entire conference, and this last day has been set aside to minister specifically to you young people. And as Barrick said, there's something that God is going to instill in you that you're going to need every ounce of God for you to be able to overcome. Mm-hmm. And I want to see you have that portion. I think we should respond to God more than just say a little prayer. Mm-hmm. I believe what's necessary is for you to make a decision. How many of you are willing to go all the way with God? How many of you have struggled going all the way with God? I'm glad for the honest answers, especially the second part. But I believe that when we gather together, that God is here in our midst. Mm. Now, the Bible tells us that what good father, if a son or a child would ask for bread, would he give him a stone? Huh? Or if he would ask for an egg, would he give him a serpent? Joseph, your parents, you asked for food, did they ever give you a serpent instead?
No.
It says, and then how much more your heavenly Father will give of you of the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Now, there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, but there is also an impartation of the Spirit of God. Amen?
Mm.
And I'd like to take this opportunity for you to respond and that we could pray with you. I just feel that it's important. I sense, you know, sometimes you're not always throw out schedules. You know, we're not into the thing, okay, we're speaking, okay, everybody gets up, because we can miss the flow of the Spirit, what God's speaking to you. Because whether you are 23 or, what was the youngest here, 7, 6? You can dedicate yourself to the Lord. You can repent to the Lord. Whatever it is that's going on in your heart, I don't know, but God knows and you know. And you need to know what you need to ask God to do today. Because what you determine today will determine the strength when you leave here tomorrow, whether you're going to be, as Barak is saying, whether you can go out and overcome and be victorious, or that you will just give way and go not the way that God wants you to go. Amen? I would want to ask you, those that are willing to do something today for God, to be willing to come. Now, the brazen laver is a place of consecration and sanctification. How many of you here have been water baptized? Raise your hand. Hold them up. Okay. All right. I see a number, and I see maybe 4, 5, 6 people that have not yet been water baptized in their lives. You see, it's not an option, but a requirement of God. Because, see, if you want to go all the way with God, you must not only be born again, but the Bible tells us that you must also be born again of water and of spirit to enter into the kingdom of God. So I want, maybe we could talk to some of you, you pray about it, but if you are a Christian and you've not yet been water baptized, I think after we have this session, I would like you to come up and talk, that we might be able to minister to you and also see what can be done so that you can be water baptized. Water baptism, now I'm sharing this to those who have not been water baptized and to those that have been water baptized. It's a covenant that you have made, or that you will make, to go all the way with God. It's not just going and doing a natural act, but water baptism is a place where you say, okay, God, you've come into my life. Now I want to serve you forever. I am going to die that old man. Huh? Any of us have to deal with sin nature? That's what we call the old man. We were born in sin and trespasses. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, when we become born again, the blood cleanses us of that fallen nature. But we still have that dead man, like a dead body hanging over us. But water baptism is where you say, God, I want to go all the way with you. I want to dedicate myself. I am going to die, and I'm going to rise up with you. Because, see, water baptism is death and resurrection. It's like you dying. Were you water baptized? See, it's in knowing that you said, I am going to no longer live, but Christ, you're going to live within me. All right? So that act of water baptism, what makes the difference whether your water baptism is real or not, is if in the heart you made that covenant with God and God made it with you. Because he says, okay, if you go under the water and die, when you rise up, it's not going to be you anymore. It's going to be me walking in resurrection life in you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, as a Christian, when I was water baptized and I was fully dedicated, did that mean all my troubles were over? No. In fact, they just began. But God's presence, and he said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. He gives us the strength to overcome. He gives us the ability to be able to resist temptation. He gives us the ability to be able to withstand peer pressure. That when other people want you to do something, that you don't do it because you know more of the reality of God, that you say, no, though none go with me, still I will follow. Amen? How many of you want that strength? When Barak finished his message today, and he talked. All of you know that story of Daniel, right?
Mm.
Of the three Hebrew children. How many of us want to be like those three Hebrew children? Okay. Do you think that happened overnight? No, there was a dedication. There was a consecration in their life, a sanctifying in their life, so that when that day came of testing, they had the goods inside of them to be able to stand. Amen? I believe God is challenging each one of you young people here today to make a decision to go all the way with God. Wherever it is that you're at right now, if you've not been born again, then you commit your life to serving God. If you haven't been walking close with God, that you can say, okay, God, I'm going to walk close with you today, this day, forever. You make a determined decision. And remember now, it's free will. I wouldn't want to ask if we say whoever wants to, it's don't do it just because everybody else in this room does it. If you don't feel to do it, it's better that you don't do it. Huh? Remember, so I think it was said this weekend, it's better for you not to make a, what, how does it say? About making a vow. It's better for you to not to make it than to make it and then don't mean it. Mm. So, hallelujah. Mm. Praise the Lord.
Mm.
So, whatever it is you want God to do, if you need His strength, if you need to be water baptized, whatever it may be, if you need the Holy Spirit, if you need that impartation of life today to give you the strength for tomorrow, for next week, whatever, I believe God is here to answer your prayer.
Mm.
Amen?
Amen.
Who's willing to come up that would want prayer and we can pray for you? You ready? Oh, come on up. Please, young man. Joseph, you too? Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Remember now, just don't... there's no pressure. If you want prayer, you come forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
What is prayer for?
Whatever, if you want prayer, whatever it is, you know, because I don't know what you want prayer for. If you want to rededicate your life, or if you know that you need a special touch from God, whatever it may be, we're going to pray that God answers prayer. That God is going to respond to what you want God to do. Okay? Praise the Lord. Do we have oil here? Well, we do have a cocoa. All right. We want to anoint your head with oil.
There's a way to do it.
There's a way to do it, okay. Show us what you want. Okay, I'm going to do this. Hallelujah. What do you want God to do for you? You want God to what? To heal you? Okay, you're having a physical problem? Okay. All right, we're going to ask God to touch you today. How about you, young lady? You got to speak up loud for me, for everybody else. You want his what?
Through the Spirit.
Okay, you want through the Spirit. That's a good thing to ask for. Goodness. Okay, how about you, young man? You want the Holy Ghost and your studies? Well, we believe that if you serve God first, you'll take care of all the rest of it. How about you, young man? Help you with your life? What do you want God to do? You have to speak up loud. You see, you're testifying before everybody what God's going to do. What do you want Him to do? know how to say it. Well, why don't you say it in Czech and she can interpret it.
Amen.
We'll just honor what you're asking there. Understanding. I'm taking understanding in the spirit. The Lord wants you in my China. Jesus.
Amen.
Certain desires. Remove certain desires. Listen to that.
Amen.
Does that ring a bell with anybody else here?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Christina. You have to compromise. You have to compromise. To change your mind and to help you in the spirit.
Amen.
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 Yes. Okay, she wants the Lord to help her to follow him the rest of her life. Dedicate your life?
Revive.
Okay, I still got some back here, right? Yes, young lady?
To help me.
To help what? Okay. I'm sorry, you got to speak louder for me because my ears are. To the Lord?
Yeah.
Okay, praise the Lord. That's all right. Did you hear him clearly? Amen.
Yeah. Strength.
Healing and strength? To follow him. Praise the Lord. Joseph?
I want to make a stand for God and to strengthen me to overcome my desires.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Believe that.
I need for God to help me.
To hear what he's speaking? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let us close our eyes because what each one of you has spoke, we're going to pray and into agreement today for you. Amen. Because what God speaks into your heart is the very thing that you're going to need for the days and weeks ahead to overcome. Father, in the name of Jesus. You have seen the testimony of each of our young brethren here today. You see their heart. You see their life. You see the calling and election upon their lives and the plan that you have for them, Father, to walk with you, to overcome the evil one, to walk in righteousness and to reject sin in their lives. Father, each one of them have individual needs. And we pray and stand in agreement with each one of them today that God, that you will move in their lives.
Amen.
That Lord God, that every individual struggle, every weakness, every inability that would be like blockages in their life, we pray that they would be removed by the power of the living God. We pray, Lord God, for the revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ, to be manifest in them. For you said there is one that sticketh closer than a brother. You said, Lord, that you would never leave us nor forsake us, that you are with us to the ends of the earth. Father, we know you are faithful as promised, but we know that we can falter, Lord. We know that we can fall away from you.
And Lord, we want to repent today for the weaknesses in our lives. We want to repent for giving way to sin and darkness in our walk. God, you said that we're to walk the straight and narrow path that leads to life. So Lord, we pray today. God, I pray for each one of these here.
Oh my God.
That they would consecrate themselves today before you, Lord. And consecration means that they're willing to say, I'm laying my life aside just for you, Jesus. And not for the world. Not for the devil. But for God Himself. So Lord God.
My God.
Lord God. Lord God, touch each and every one of them. And there are some here that need to be awakened to righteousness. So God, let your Spirit come. Father, whether it's right now or tonight as they lay down in their bed, Lord God, you are there. And you will work in their lives to bring righteousness and truth. And that, Lord, you can eradicate every power of darkness that would work against them. Hallelujah. The Word says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Lord God, let each one of these youth know that Lord, as they put their trust in you, that the power of God can move in their lives to remove every obstacle, every barrier. Father, we pray right now. We pray right now, Lord, that every sin, Lord, be remitted right now.
Hallelujah.
As we're here, you young people, any sin that comes before you, just begin to repent for it.
The blood
of Jesus Christ is here to forgive your sins. So call out to God. Ask God to forgive your sins. Whatever it may be. Some of you young children, you disobey your parents. Whatever it is that's coming before you, say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. The blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, you young, just pray and ask God. It's part of the sanctification process is the ability to say, God, forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Evil thoughts that come into our minds. Evil desires. Some of you have prayed and says, I want to have the desire for God. Well, to have the desire for God, you have to give up the desires for the world. Hallelujah. So, Father, we pray right now, let every sin that is being confessed here today, let it be forgiven by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. Let the blood be applied to each of these souls today. Let the release come. Let the release come. Let the release come. Let the release come by the confession of sin and by the repentance of sin. Hallelujah. My God, let there be a cleansing flow of the blood here right now, Lord God. Let it wash over each and every one today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Just let the blood work in your lives, you young people. You know, it says if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we confess our sins, He's just and able to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. See, God wants to move in your life, but you've got to remove all of the sin, all of the things that separate us from God, so that you can be vessels of honor, that you can be consecrated for God. Hallelujah. Many of us are at that brazen labor where you're asking God to bring consecration. Sanctification. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, Father, we just pray all of our young brethren here today as they have come forth, as they have heard the Word of God, and as they have responded, Lord God, that means that you are accepting their petitions and their dedication. How many of you want to be dedicated to serve God? Huh? Raise your right hands if you want to be dedicated to God today. Just like Samuel. Father, we want to commit these young people in your hands right now. We want to pray, Lord God, as they offer their souls up to you, to be dedicated for you, God, for your kingdom, for your purposes, Lord God. Lord, touch them today. Lord, let the fire of God come down. Lord, let the fire put the stamp of approval upon their dedication today. You help each one of them. Father, we want to pray, Lord God, as they dedicate themselves, that there comes a separation from the world. There comes a separation from family spirits that want to lay claim to their soul. Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, cover them today. God, strengthen them. Let your spirit fall upon them, Lord God. Fill them, cleanse them. Lord God, let the blood of Jesus Christ work. Let the Holy Spirit work. Lord, give them the power and the anointing, Lord, to walk out their dedication that they are praying today, Lord God. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Loose them, Lord. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them, Lord God. Loose them of every hindrance, every cumbrance. Loose them today. Lord, every plan that the devil has, we loose them, Lord, so that they are covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, that they're sanctified by the blood, Lord, and that they are consecrated so that the Spirit of God can come down into these temples, Lord, not only for the work of that you have, but to give them the nature and character of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that they can walk as children of God. Hallelujah. We bless them today, Lord. We bless their families. We bless their brothers and sisters. We bless their parents today. We pray, Lord, that their homes and what they do is sanctified for God. Lord, whatever decisions that they are fronted them today, we pray they make the right decisions. Father, if there's things that are in their lives, whether the media, God, show them to lay it aside and to walk with you. Hallelujah.
Oh,
we commit them into your hands right now. We bless them, and we pray your will would be done in their lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I want you all to realize what you've done. There's something has happened in the spirit.
Amen.
Believe it this day. Count it this day.
You have a prayer to pray?
Lord, we just thank you for this experience, Lord, today here with you. We thank you for all the hearts that have turned to you, Jesus. We just thank you.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask, we come before your presence, Lord, and we ask that every barrier that is down the road, Lord, that you will come and break through, Jesus.
Yes.
We ask that this experience will not just be a one-time thing. It will not just be something that we'll go back and we'll forget, Lord, and we go back straight to the things that we've left behind, but we ask that this experience will be one that stays with us, Lord, that will guide us in the following weeks, in the following months, Lord, that we'll be able to remember your presence, Lord, filling us, Jesus. And we ask that we'll be able to make the right decision, Lord, at every turn, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Song to sing? Yeah, after dedication, it's good to sing a song.
Yes, there is. You were singing a song earlier. Was it The Gates of Hell? Yeah, that's the one.
The Gates of Hell?
The Gates of Hell shall not.
Do we have a piano? What do you guys play the piano that you play over there? No, not Joseph.
No. Have fun.
And when you die, you'll be glad. Thank you. God, because there's something. Do you know where music originated? From heaven. It's just that the devil perverted it. But the life that comes from godly songs brings life to us, strength to us.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You remember youth camp, don't you? Huh? Have some of you seen some of the things? If you have time later, I have a little video clip of what happened in the youth conference in Port Harcourt for 2 years. And one of the songs where the anointing fell and the Spirit of God came down in the midst was this song. And do you know why that is? Because songs are prophecy. It's saying, God has given me the garment of praise instead of mourning. Huh? He's given me what? A shining crown in place of ashes. He's given me a glory in the place of despair.
Oh, yeah.
And then it says, it's God that girds me with strength. When I'm singing it, I start to feel the strength.
Huh?
I begin to prophesy to myself.
Yeah.
And life comes to me. That's what's going to get you and you and you to the place that you have strength to resist the devil.
Amen.
The way that you give yourself now in praise is giving you life. It's like energy is coming to us. So can we sing it? And if you feel like dancing, dance. Feel like clapping, clap. Don't be so resistive. You know, especially, you know,
We learned a lot from our Nigerian brethren how to be free in praise. Did you know that? So you all need to still be free too.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can we sing it again?
It is given me the oil of gladness, the garment of praise instead of mourning, a shining crown, instead of ashes, a glory in the place of despair. It is God that girded me with strength. It is God that girded me. It is God. This is what the reality that you can get without having to go to the world to buy anything. You just can receive life. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Sister Effie, I think you're the only
Oh no, someone has a song.
Huh?
going as a song.
You got another song?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I won't stop that.
Which one? Which one? Which
you
one?
What created me
five.
A clean heart? Well, that's a good song.
Five. Which one?
Any other one.
Continue.
God. Cast me out.
George.
Yeah.
I just feel like that we should pray for you.
Okay.
Brother George is battling with back hindrances.
A number of physical needs that I have in my body, and I'm asking God to touch.
Yes, and I want to take advantage of the strength of the childlike faith.
Amen.
That is available. So I want to ask you, children, to come and let us pray for Brother George.
Praise the Lord.
I believe there's an anointing here.
Amen.
There is a course to be run yet. There's a race that needs to be finished. And there's a calling and there's an election that's upon his life. So let us reach out to him. Reach out to God. Let us ask for the energy of God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
My God.
Lord God, send your word that by your stripes we are healed, Lord God. Lord God, I pray you would heal our brother George, Lord God. I pray you would sprinkle the blood of Jesus over his entire
body. Yes, amen.
Not only physical body, Lord God, but spiritual body, Lord God. Lord God, let us see the healing, Lord, from your presence, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you help him, Lord God, to continue to run after you, Lord God. Lord God, renew his strength like the eagles, Lord God. Lord God, renew our strength, Lord God. Able those can be able to renew your strength, Lord God.
Hallelujah. My God.
In Jesus' name, pray.
Shut down, my God.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you say by your stripes we are healed, Lord. And we come to tap into that power. We come to the power of your word, Lord. That says by your stripes we are healed, Lord. Oh, Lord, we bring him before you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we bring him to face with all faith, Lord. Oh, Lord, we join faith to faith, Lord, to make this miracle come true, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, join faith to faith, Lord, for faith is faith is as little as the mustard seed.
Oh, yes.
And he moves mountains, oh God, and we have faith tonight, Jesus, that you will heal God, George, Lord. Oh God, may you heal him, Lord, may you heal him, Lord. May you go right down to where it hurts him, and may you heal him, oh God. Oh God, you know he needs his strength, he needs his body to be able to carry on his heart, oh God. Oh God, may you heal him, oh God, heal him so he can serve you more. Heal him so he can serve us, oh God.
Yes.
Oh God, may we take away this pain from him. Take away this pain from him, oh God. Oh God, for the body is yours, Lord, and remove every foreign entity from this body, oh God. Oh God, we sanctify this body by your blood. We bring the blood to bear upon this body, oh Lord. We see the blood. We pull on the blood, oh God. The blood, give us the blood.
Hallelujah.
The blood available, yes, Lord. We tap into the blood, oh God. We tap into
my
the
God.
Blood, oh God. Take our
my God.
Hallelujah.
My God.
Father, we come by the blood of Jesus. That we pray that you will touch our brother George.
Amen.
His body, his back. Lord, we are viewed by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That we would not let brother George to travel or do the things you want him to do, God.
My God.
That we touch him by the blood of Jesus Christ. God, you died on the cross for us and also for brother George, God. For his blood, God. Please heal every pain or every problem that is in his body, God.
My God.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Touch him now.
Oh, yes. My God.
We bless his wife, his all his family.
Yes,
Lord. That you will know that you are his dad, God. That you are going to heal him from every pain and from every need. Look at this video.
Thank you, Jesus.
My God.
Yes, Lord. Lord, we ask for this miracle, Lord. Oh God, we ask for this miracle, Lord, to strengthen the feet of the young ones, God. We ask for this miracle, Lord, that whenever you move, Lord, and you show us, Lord, your power, Lord. May you show the young ones, Lord, the miracles coming up, that indeed, Lord, you do miracles, Lord.
Yeah.
May not be by sense of the scripture, but maybe by physical action, oh God. Lord, give them this miracle to go up with, Lord, that you heal God George, Lord, in London. Lord, you heal God George in Newton, Lord. That you heal them, Lord, and you heal them, and they prayed, and you answered your prayer.
My God.
Lord,
hallelujah.
My God. We ask God, really work. God works because we saw you do a miracle, oh God.
My God.
Give them this testimony, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, just look upon our business, Lord. Not on our righteousness, oh God, for your sins, the guilty wrong before you, God. Look at our little thing, Lord. Every little thing, Lord, we've done that's satisfied unto you, Lord.
My God.
Oh God, have mercy. Have mercy, Jesus.
My God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to bring Brother George to you. Lord, we see the calling, the election that is upon his life. Lord, you see the road that is yet before him, the appointments you have for him, the places he's yet to go, the people he's yet to touch, to meet, the message for which he's yet to bring. Lord, you made this body. Lord, you designed it that it should function in perfection. My God, Father, we want to call upon the perfection that is in heaven.
Amen, Jesus.
My God, by virtue of the laying on of hands,
amen.
By reason of the anointing that comes from the Spirit of the living God, Father, let this perfection be imparted
amen,
in his body.
Jesus, hallelujah.
My God, Father, we pray that you would touch him in his physical makeup.
Yes.
My God, you see the hindrances physically in which the devil has leveraged against him. My God, to try to stop him, to hinder him, to wear him out. My God, Father, we are coming by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to rebuke these things.
Amen.
To rebuke these curses.
Amen, Jesus.
My God, the right access.
Amen.
That has created, facilitate these physical impairments. Father, we're asking for your divine intervention. And the closing of these openings, my God, that the help and the vitality of which the body has been designed might begin to function in its proper order. So Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you touch him today and set him free, oh God, into which he has been called. Yea, in the name of Jesus, oh God, touch him, we pray, by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
When we ask, oh God, you will give unto us, Lord God. Whatever we ask, you will give unto us, Father. And when we knock on the door, Lord God, you answer, Lord God.
Hey,
Lord God, I pray, Lord God, as we ask for God's healing, Lord God, that you will give it to us, because it says in your word, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, you speak to this body, Lord God, to rise up, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
To say for,
hallelujah.
Stand forth and say, I am healed.
Amen.
Lord God, because Lord God, Brother George is healed.
Amen.
Lord God,
Jesus.
I pray, Lord God, that you oh my God, you are healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, by the blood, Lord God, Lord of the land, by the word of the testimony, Lord God, you are healed of Brother George in the name of Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.